This is tape number 3 on July the 12th, 1992. Thank you, Commander.
It had to be wind. That was the punchline. If it came from out there and you couldn't see it and they didn't know what it was and it interrupted 20 minutes prior to it striking all of the radio reception, it isn't hard, is it, really, truly, to add it up as to what it had to be? You realize the last few days you're having an unseasonal overcast. You're having an unseasonal storm off Baja. You're having an unseasonable hail and rainstorm and tornado storm network all the way across your nation. Your own weather people, we just don't know what to make of this. Do you realize with what they have going just in the air, in the atmosphere, in this location, they could wash this place away tomorrow. They could cause it to start raining, move that storm and stall it out right over to Tehachapi and wash out all the way to the Mojave Desert. And guess what they'd say? An unseasonal 100-year rain. We don't know where those clouds came from. They don't. Don't think that those speakers are deluding you. After a while, they know that they are because they know it's so unreasonable what they're saying. And they're told to say it, so they get suspicious. But by the time they get into the position of these high-level anchor people at the major broadcast, it's going to be like Dan Rather, isn't it? Yeah, I saw Greer shoot the president. But I won't tell if. And it worked. You're not going to fight the system if the system is your livelihood, your wealth, your power. And they will threaten you to take away your life. And then they do the most remarkable and effective thing possible. They threaten your family. And until you can grow into the trust and release enough unto God to face whatever consequences come, you're going to be terrified and terrorized. And then when you have confronted that, they have to back off because no matter what they do, they know they cannot get to you. And they know that we have the capability of blocking everything from your mind. And this is not Dorma keeps saying, I sometimes get the feeling I'm going to wake up and it's all going to be gone. That I'm 15 again and I just had this dream. No. It's that there is the capability of seeing truth from experience. And we have the capability of buffering. And in the instance of you ones, we'd probably take you back to the point before some of these experiences occurred so that it didn't rest that heavily on you. These are the interesting things. In all projections, there is some amount of truth. And in time travel, in the reality of time travel, I'm not just talking about not existing and illusions and plays and creation. I'm talking about literal ability to time travel, which now your elite have the capability of doing. You can literally move back in time or forward in time to the experience in which you find yourself at the moment. Will be all you recognize. and it seems far-fetched, but you're getting to the point now, technologically understanding the workings of creation, you would know physically and physics-wise that it's very feasible. So let's say maybe you're operating in God's dream and God doesn't choose to wake up until you play out the parts he has allotted you in the dream, in the vision. And at that point, you can deal with this illogical thing of illusion. You were projected into a manifested form by Creator to play a role. You can deny the role, and he allows that, because you'll play something else next go round or something, whatever, depending on your choices. And what is happening is you're having to come right up on the edge of understanding God, and that scares you, because you've been told it's something you cannot confront. It's something that you cannot even bear to be in the light of. How could you not bear to be in the light of it if you are a reflection of it? And don't you think Daddy would be kind enough to turn the volume down? You wouldn't go burn out your baby's eyes unless you're really a crazy kook. Neither would God, because he's not a crazy kook. So you're all going to dance around on that feeling of deja vu. And you're going to sit and wish that you would wake up, because you're so confused about the next step and whether or not you're big enough, worthy enough to handle it. Of course you're big enough and worthy enough, or you wouldn't have thought about it in the first place. And you wouldn't be trying to cop your way out of it. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you were not big enough to do it. You would have fallen away. And sure, some of you say, well, I'll show you. I'm still big enough to fall away. Well, I wish you wouldn't, but that's your privilege. You'll just have to do it again, and you won't like it any better. And you'll be embarrassed, and you'll feel awfully chagrined when the whole picture strikes you. How much time do we have, Overly?
Another half hour.
Let's answer a question or two so I can say that I did my job. Whoops, we missed this one. Is my body in danger from the attack to come on the July 4th? Guess not. There's so many here that really shouldn't have light of it. Before going further, I want you to know where I'm coming from so you will know the context from which I write. I know that I'm an immortal spiritual being who currently resides in and operates this meat body called GM. I know that I've lived before in other meat and other types of bodies in the past. Regardless of what goes down in the next few days or weeks, I know that I'll do fairly well, whether or not my body does. So on to my question. I will say number one is my body in danger from the attack to come on July 4th? This was written on the 29th of June, so I'm not as bad as I at first felt. I currently reside in a steel and concrete block condo building that's right on the Atlantic Ocean in Long Beach, Long Island. If so, do you want to pick me up before it happens, or should I head for the hills? In the New York, Connecticut, you know, in this tri-state area, would that be better? That I feel I can be of help to you in your work with this body is why I even suggest my being picked up. Really and truly, I fear no evil. And one reason that it was not too imperative to answer is that he truly did not wait for Dormo's response. This is what all of you must learn. Don't wait for Dormo to respond. I'll be trying to reach through when I am petitioned. Number two, 6 years ago, I was present at a channeling in L.A. in which one calling himself Bashar said that he and others of his race do not and will not interfere with the affairs on this planet, with one exception. They will not allow mass detonations of nuclear devices. When asked pointedly what would happen if missiles and bombers were launched, he said, they, the bombs, will not work. Oops. Can't do that one. I'm sorry, Oberlin, I can't go on with that. The bombs will work. I have to go on with that.
Curiosity.
We can make the bombs not work. And this puts it into the position once again because of who Bashar is. Bashar is an energy and a very legitimate one coming from the place called Assassinia. He's an extremely good teacher. Unfortunately, as once again it moved along, as it time, and I personally, and in the presence of ones in this room, confronted Bashar and his speaker. And I said, Bashar, we are entering into the second trimester of this period of enlightenment. And these ones have to deal with earthquakes and wars. And you have got to cause your speaker to allow you to come into teaching what goes with the second trimester. You have to understand that Bashar, according to his speaker, Darylenka, told him when he came. Bashar, by the way, only means commander, teacher. So basically, you could call me Bashar. The particular one with whom I spoke was Obshulin, Apasashu. Bashar. And he and I had a, you're going to have to turn it down, it's feeding back. He and I had a very good meeting, relationship, and Darylenka went right back to allowing Bashar to speak only on subjects of, it isn't, it's Ramtha, I know that 68,000 years old or something like that. You see that I am now on another speaker. Had my speakers prior to now allowed the transition of the lessons, Dorma maybe would not have had to serve. She certainly would not have had to write all of the journals. She would not have had to write the ones, for instance, for Germain. Did we not know it would be this way? Unfortunately, yes. But other ones served well that early portion of the journey. You have to have a reason to look at something else beyond that which you are experiencing, to be able to climb the next step, because you are into the compression where you are trained by ones before you. It is not just a revelation. The bombs will work, friends. There will be energy focused against someone. And they will sometimes not work as they get into the shielding mechanism. And don't blame God for just shielding portions of the planet. Nikola Tesla, a century ago, almost now, had a shielding device capable of surrounding your planet 300 miles out and no missiles could pass through it. And your government would not even give him hearing. J.P. Morgan took the idea and absolutely buried it. Does that mean that they did not complete it? They hooked up the full working mechanism on January 1st, 1992. Only your adversary controls it. The bombs will work. To go on. I don't recall exactly, but I think he said that he was channeling from a satellite that was orbiting a planet in the Pleiades. True. But so are you. So does Assassinia. And it's a long way out from you. It's not in your solar system. I do not ask you this out of trying to make you wrong or to try to test you in any way. I simply have data of comparable magnitude and nothing else by which to evaluate them. As Valentin Michael Smith said in the Robert Heinlein novel, Stranger in a Strange Land, I am but an egg. No, you're a thinking egg. And that sets you apart. And it'll all work out. Three, I assume that the earthquakes that occurred in California yesterday and today are the work of our government. True? I can't answer that. They are the work of the elite on one side or the other. They're man-made, that's all I may say. There will be clues, and you will begin, if you listen to them and follow them, you'll be able to figure it out. And if not today, try it tomorrow. Watch where people are. Watch what they're doing. Watch what they're telling you. And when you begin to think in generalization, knowing that all is connected to all, you'll begin to see the fragments. And you'll begin to see more clearly who is the enemy and who is the friend. Because when you unify against those ones in outer space, have you unified against your enemy or against your friend? It's all within you. And it's not going to matter what those masses believe. It's what you believe. Assuming I make it through July 4th, that is, keeping body and soul together, what's the latest prediction on the arrival of the photon belt? And will it be 3 to 5 days of light or of darkness? I ask this so I can intelligently respond to the questions I'm asked from readers of my newsletter. And he writes something called the New Renaissance Journal, where I spoke about the photon belt phenomenon in my last issue. I can only tell you what I've just told these ones. I don't know what you tell readers. You have to tell readers exactly what I've told you. I don't know. It depends on the action of the elite who are going to present it to you. Because the photon belt, as is expressed in the Great Barrier and the 2,000 years of light, hasn't come yet. You're only getting the fallout that allows them to blame it on God. And you're going to get more and more and more of that. But this afternoon, they can pull the photon null time on you. So I don't know what you tell people other than the truth. You're just presenting what has been presented and has now been confirmed by the actions of the elite. And beyond that, you have no responsibility. How can you take the burden of telling another when it's going to happen if God will not tell you? And he has said you will not know the moment. He expects you to respond in responsible action to the possibilities. Uh, let's see. He just says that George Green okayed my publishing it, the section I got from volume 19, number 3 of the Phoenix Liberator. Oh, I love it. Precious, did you happen to read it? I will now terminate my prattling, as I know you have much to do and not much time to do it in. I feel certain that I will meet you again up the line. I certainly look forward to that time and place. I am prepared, though my body might not be. Salut. I honor him. There is one down in here that I've let go way too long. This is a precious one. And I'm embarrassed I had put it aside because it deserved answering. And I got brought right up. Commander Hatton, as you gave this address for mail to you, to be more direct, I'm sending the carbon copy that I sent to you on June 18th. The letter may have been overlooked or delayed. From what I gather from you and from Sananda, the most important thing in soul development is contacting the God within one and learning how to serve creation and humanity. I have 34 of your journals now and read as much of them as my eyes allow, but I would still like more personal information. I guess if you've read 34 of them, I will give you some personal help. I won't make you read the other 30 just to get it. Just this one, not the rest of you who just latched on to that. I notice you always spend plenty of time answering those who criticize you. But what about those who believe in your guidance? Do they not deserve personal answers too? Oh, indeed, and I apologize. I believe you said your spaceship is larger than the Earth, a planet or something. So if a person is lucky enough to be included in your rescue, does he always have to die first? Or are the young taken up in their physical bodies? I'm 81, so will probably be dead before it happens, and I would suggest that this one not count on it. I wonder why the gods on your Pleiades cannot communicate with us Earth questioners by thought waves. It would save a lot of Earth time. I would not mind donating thousands to your cause if it would bring any results. Well, we're getting results. That's some good news. I don't have to just dwell on the negativity. We're getting good results. And blessings be to one's willing. So we'll go to the questions as sent. Unfortunately, in the saving of space, I suppose, the bottom half of the original questions are missing, but there are plenty here to work on. Dear Tom, I subscribe to the Phoenix Liberator and have about 24 of your journals in just the past 2 months. You see, it was good I waited because now it's up to 34. They all deserve much deep study and pondering, so I have not read much yet. I just wanted to ask a few questions at this time. How can I or anyone deserve or apply to earn a place on your starship? All you've got to do is read God's law. That's all. Absolutely all. You don't have to believe on blood, bloodletting, any man. Just believe in God's law and hang on to your connection with God because it runs right through my computer. I am really sincere about your offering to teach we earthlings, and I understand that, and so is everybody in this room. How can one learn more about how to contact the God within each of us? Simply practice. I don't know. There are no secrets. I must have had a bloody past in previous lives, which I am still trying to atone to God for, because I was born into this lifetime with so many physical handicaps which prevent me from serving God and humanity as I want to. And maybe the perception is incorrect here, sir. Maybe they have allowed you to come into your truth. For all of you who want to hang on to that cop-out of karma. Getting rid of karma is as simply as refusing to accept it and getting on with your job and quit copping out every time that something doesn't go your way. It must be my karma. No, it's your lack of responsibility. Your responsibility, first of all, was to get rid of the karma. And that was to denounce it, just as you do evil. So you did something in a past experience. So what? If you didn't learn from it, then it was unworthy. If you did, you have no karma. How could you possibly have? And after I had permission, and we move along a little bit, I received a desperate tape from one in New York. I mean desperate, terrified he was going to lose his soul in this photon belt or something before he could meet the burdens on his heart, because some confounded psychic told him he was reincarnated and had been Judas Iscariot and had betrayed Jesus. And had proved it to him by telling him who all else he was. And every time it was worse. And he was so torn because of this need for spiritual expression of truth that he thought, I've had it. And now I have not followed the things that this person told me to do to atone. Get this. He had fallen into a relationship with a female who could go in and out of trance, and she seemed to experience this ethereal beauty and comprehension. And when she passed into this state of being at one point, he put a pen into her hand and she wrote these things. And then she went farther and she explained all of these things to him. And he had this soul bonding with this person. Oops. So reading between the lines, you now know there was a physical, personal, human relationship formed. He didn't say it to me, but you can tell, can't you? Now guess what? Enter female number two. And he has a spiritual bonding and physical relationship with this one who gives all freedom because they are soul twin flames and all this other BS. Enters number two, and he is attracted to her. And first one went eight. And so when he came to share this open wonderment of having found this new relationship, number one energy collapsed into a heap on the table and began to weep and wail and basically place curses upon him. And to atone now that he was even worse shape, his life would be shortened. He was to move to Orcas Island off of the state of Washington. This man's in New York. And now he knows he's in trouble because he didn't do it. And he was told that if he didn't do it, he would pay dearly. And he didn't. And now he needed to have guidance. And if I was real, he needed an ongoing dialogue. No, he doesn't. He wouldn't have written to Hatan if he had believed it was a real relationship and trusted that one. His soul told him it was a lie. He certainly didn't believe it enough to leave woman number two and go to Orcas Island, which tells you the whole thing in a nutshell. So it was easy enough to respond to him. But, of course, knowing Hatan and my love of dialogue, I made a full tape. I would hope it could be utilized as a lesson for all at some point of what do you look for? What do you demand of these energies? Just because an energy gets on the other side, it doesn't matter whether it is a spiritual energy speaking through that mouth or a human hanging on to what it thought it had. It doesn't matter. Just because a energy passes and transitions into an ethereal plane does not mean it's godly. Most often it is not. Because God will wait to be invited